more now on COVID-19, the coronavirus. I'm joined in studio this morning by Dr. May Mannix. She's the Director of Public Healthcare in the Midwest, and also by Dr. Maria Bridgman, Chief Officer for Community Healthcare in the Midwest. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
And thanks
Good morning.
Very much for coming into us in the programme this morning. We are inviting people's questions, and we're going to discuss your collective responses of your organisations to the coronavirus, just to let our listeners know, and maybe just to help you in terms of shaping some of the questions that you may send into us on 086 1800 964. We're not joined this morning by a representative of the UL Hospitals Group. We hopefully will hear from them in due course. We weren't able to arrange something for this, so we're not going to be asking questions about the hospital this morning, because it's not for the two guests who are with me in studio. And also, there are questions coming in about national policy. I think that's fair to say, May and Maria, that decisions are going above your pay grade, but you're following national guidelines in this particular one. Maybe Maria, to yourself first of all, how big of an issue is this? How big of a crisis are we talking about?
Good morning, Gavin, and good morning to your listeners. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to speak with you today. We really do appreciate that. Right now, the organisation is in containment phase. So what that actually means is that all efforts and work is being undertaken to contain and stop the spread of the virus. Right now, that is extremely successful, and the measures that are being taken are working. The majority...
Why do you say they're working?
Because right now, the majority of cases that have been diagnosed are as a result of a direct contact with somebody that has come from either an affected place or has been in direct contact with somebody from there. And Dr. Mannix will explain that in more detail for you. It is really important to remember during all of this, right now we are not in a crisis. And that is a very important message here today.
But are we facing down the barrel of one? And I'm not trying to be alarmist. I am really trying to be measured and moderate in the language that we are using over these airwaves, because there are a lot of people out there who are anxious, but we can all read the headlines and we can all see the predictions.
I accept that and I understand that, and certainly there is a huge amount of fear out there among the public and the people at large. Right now, all measures are being taken. Plans are in place that in the event that we have to move on to the next phase of delayed containment or any other phase, all the plans are in place. So the message for today clearly is, please work with us and do and take the advice that's being asked. So right now, it is very much about wash your hands thoroughly and carefully between your fingers, around your wrists. Put plenty of soap on it. That kills the virus. Dry your hands properly. If you have to cough or sneeze, use a tissue and then put it in the bin thereafter. If you're caught coughing, do so into your sleeve. I cannot encourage today for the people to work with us and undertake these simple but extremely effective infection control measures.
Dr. May Mannix is with us as well, as we say. Dr. Mannix, I know that there are limitations on what you can say about confirmed cases, and I'm not going to get into those this morning, but people will be aware of cases that have been confirmed in the Midwest and some of the measures that have been taken in response to that. Can you talk us through what happens when a case is confirmed in terms of the broader community? What happens then to try and find the people, for example, who've been in contact with those who've got positive cases? Just talk me through that process, if you don't mind.
Okay, so once we're aware of a positive case, there's a very detailed protocol that has to be gone through. And the purpose of that is to identify close contacts of a case. So there are clear guidelines around that. So for instance, somebody who has face-to-face contact with the case for 15 minutes would be regarded as a close contact. And what we do is we trace who speaking in detail with the actual case themselves, who they've been in contact
with. Where were
you?
Where did you go?
Where did
you
go?
When were you there?
Exactly.
Over what period of time, typically?
Well, that is measured by the day that the patient, the case, actually becomes symptomatic, because that's when they start to spread the virus, really. Mm. So from the date the patient becomes symptomatic.
And are you certain on that? If anybody has the virus, before showing symptoms, can they spread it?
It the evidence, or the obviously this is an evolving situation.
I appreciate that.
You know, but from what we know at the moment, and this would be similar to other viruses, the most infectious period is when people have symptoms. So it is a very reasonable approach to take the date from symptom onset.
Okay. You then talk about this close contact. So, for example, this morning, we are reporting on how some of those who have been confirmed to have COVID-19 attended an event in Glore on the 29th of February last. In response to that, you've obviously spoken to the individuals concerned. You found out where they were. I understand then you went to Glore, you found out where they were sitting and those who were sitting near them, and you contacted those individuals, but not everybody in the auditorium. Can you just explain the rationale, the logic,
yes,
and all of that?
In that situation, again, we follow national guidance. So it would be similar, say, to other situations such as a bus or an airplane. So basically, where the case sits, you just regard two seats in either direction around the case as a close contact. So therefore, a small number of people were contacted to make them aware that they were close contacts and given the appropriate advice, whereas there is no need to give advice to the other people.
So if they were at that event and they haven't heard from you,
correct,
nothing to be worried about in your eyes?
No.
Okay.
No.
And Glore has continued to trade. I know that they have worked with the HSE, taken advice, etc. I presume the fact that their doors are still open, that you see no problem there as well?
No problem whatsoever.
And how many other... Or have there been many other examples of that, other events, other local gatherings? Probably dozens. Well, maybe dozens is a stretch, but I'm thinking within this area, are there other areas that you've had to do this process for as well?
Well, not in relation to the particular cases that we're talking about. Obviously, there were schools involved, workplaces and all of that, and all of the appropriate contact tracing has been completed there also.
But again, that's just an... I use that as an example,
yes,
because it's one that we can talk about publicly because it's been acknowledged, and I appreciate your openness on that particular one. To yourself then, Maria Bridgman, can I just talk to you a little bit about the impact on some public facilities? I'm thinking nursing homes in particular. Has there been a change to visiting restrictions as of yet?
Well, if you recall, Gavin, I came out here to you before Christmas and we spoke about what were the measures that were required back then in relation to management of the flu season.
Yes, yeah.
Right. So now, back then, the advice was we were encouraging people to wash their hands and if they had symptoms, not to visit any of our units. That is the same advice today. So what we're saying again to people is, similarly to the advice given on the station back then, today what I am asking people is, when you come to visit any of our units, please wash your hands and use all the gels provided. If you have any symptoms of runny nose, cough, temperature, please do not come and visit. Right now, there is no indication or advice from the Public Health Department that we have to restrict visitors in any way at all.
Even However, though that's happened in the hospitals?
In the hospitals, it's a different situation. So right now, our staff are meeting with and advising visitors as they come to the hospitals, and they are encouraging them to use the gels and just asking them, if you have any type of cold or flu, do not come in. But other than that, visitors are allowed in.
Do you foresee a situation where that may have to change, where your guidance may have to be stepped up?
Well, as my colleague here beside me said, we are in an evolving situation. So the one thing I will say, if at any point in time, the advice from the Public Health Department to me is that I need to take additional measures, I will absolutely do that with immediate effect.
Okay, and but you're following the national guidelines?
I am following the national guidelines, and as I've already said, and again I'm stating, washing the hands in detail, and also in relation to that, which is difficult for most of us, is to keep our hands away from our face. And actually it's such a subconscious thing that we all do that maybe we should be starting reminding each other, hey there, you've rubbed your face.
Yeah.
Because we actually don't even have an awareness that we have the habit of doing that. Okay. And that's very important to stop that.
I'm getting a lot of questions and I'm going to try and get to as many of them as I can, and please keep them coming at home. And I'm not actually sure which one of you to ask this, so whoever wants to answer this one, jump in. We've seen the Patrick's Day parades have been cancelled. What about other events? I'm getting asked about funerals, teenage discos, all that sort of stuff. Have you, what are the thoughts? What's the guidance right now on those?
Well, to be honest, we're expecting some national guidance on that. It's expected in the next couple of days, so it's not our particular area of expertise.
I understand that you're following national guidance.
Yes,
I suppose one thing, though, that people may be saying to themselves at home is that we know that our case is not far from where we are, and why are we waiting for national guidelines when perhaps in a local sense we're in a different situation?
At the moment, we're still in containment phase, and I personally wouldn't see it necessary to cancel events, you know, but we will await national guidance.
Okay, so until national guidance comes down, the status quo remains?
Yes, correct.
Would you, if that guidance comes, find yourselves in a position where you might be instructing organisers of events to potentially cancel them? Theoretically.
Well, it'll be coming from government, I suppose.
Okay, so, because I'm getting asked about specific events and people are worried about all these things, but at this stage, the organisers, if they're going ahead, to your eyes, aren't doing anything wrong. Is that fair to say? Okay, I'm going to ask you questions, and if you can throw them out, and whoever, just jump in, please, whoever it should be. Can the virus affect newborn babies or very young children?
It can affect newborns and young children, but fortunately, children seem to get a very mild illness. It's more older adults are affected. So that's reassuring, I think.
What's the best way to boost one's immune system? Is there anything that we can do to try and ward this off, other than hygiene, or on top of hygiene, maybe might be a better phrase?
I think it's the usual healthy lifestyle, you know.
There's nothing unique here, from that point of view.
Yeah, no, healthy, you know, exercise, healthy eating, and obviously the methods we've been saying, hand hygiene, respiratory etiquette, not touching your face.
How long is a person with the virus a danger to others? Anne wants to know that.
Until they stop shedding the virus, which is usually when they have no more symptoms.
So while people have symptoms, they're a quote-unquote danger to others, they're at risk of spreading.
Potentially, yes.
Okay. Philomena wants to know, do you recommend wearing disposable gloves when grocery shopping? I think that sort of stuff has been downplayed.
It has, no, there's no advantage to it at all.
Even if you're working, say, and you're meeting a lot of people or handling cash, for example?
No, it's advised not to use gloves.
Okay. With regards then to a lot more questions that are coming in with respect to this particular one, in terms of the community healthcare side of things, Maria Bridgman, we have seen different testing that's been taking place in settings, maybe that's more public health as well, but what will your priorities be going forward in terms of trying to keep this to an absolute minimum or as much as we can, I suppose?
Again, the most important thing is for people to work with us, take the advice at a given time, and please adhere to that. That is a really important measure. If at any point we need to introduce additional measures or advice, we will do that. And again, that's when I would ask the public to adhere and work with us. So that's how we will progress if we need to.
Are all daycare centres still open in Clare? Do you know?
My understanding is that there are a number that have taken a decision not to open, but again, there is no public advice for anybody to do that, and we are following up directly with them to give assurances to people. I think that's what people require now, is the assurance in relation to the measures that are being taken at the moment are appropriate and proportionate to where we are at in this situation.
Okay. Sorry to cut across you, apologies. I'm getting questions about nursing homes, and some are saying there have been visiting restrictions. I think they're private nursing homes, so they don't fall under your remit. Is that right?
The private nursing homes have certainly taken their own decision in relation to our units. For example, out in Innisdiamon, the decision there is that when people come in, the staff meet them directly. So when, as we do not have a reception area there, visitors are asked to ring the doorbell, and then they're met by the staff and they're given the appropriate advices or asked the appropriate questions. For example, here in St. Joseph's in Innes, again, the hand gels symptoms, and the questions in relation to have you any symptoms are being asked of people, and then people that are coming to the church are asked to use the direct access door to the church, and any of our primary care staff and other staff that are based in that hospital are asked to use other entrance rather than going through the units where the residents are living.
So you're taking precautions, but again, as we've said already, you're still welcoming visitors, for at least for the time being,
yes,
until that advice is updated.
Yes.
Breed wants to know, and maybe this is for down the line, Dr. Mannix, if you can get the virus, can you get it again? I think that's happened internationally.
Well, again, it's an evolving situation. We think that isn't really an issue at the moment, you know.
It's a bit soon for that sort of stuff.
It is a bit soon. For any virus, it'd be very unusual to get a second time.
Do we know, though, how long this might continue for? Is there any indication on that sort of stuff?
We don't. Again, it's evolving. We're still in containment phase.
Mm. But do you foresee this being on our radar for a period of months?
We do. If we get more cases popping up in the community that we can't explain, or then we move into a mitigation phase.
And in general terms, what will happen then? I mean, will you still be contact tracing everybody who gets a case?
No, we'll move to a situation where we're really trying to look after people who are ill and prioritising that. Public health messaging about hand hygiene and not touching face and social distancing and all of that is really critical at that point, because the more people do that, the more we can, I suppose, flatten the curve. Mm. We're trying to spread out the cases as much as we can so that...
you avoid a spike, you avoid putting extreme pressure on, and that's the priority at this particular stage. And that's why you talked about the hand washing, all that sort of stuff. That's why that's the most important message that's coming. I've got a lot of questions that are coming in here about travel, which I know is above your pay grades. We're following guidelines, we can reflect that, but you're not going to change that per se. But even from one listener, for example, on the nursing home situation, Maria, people are saying, well, surely you should be stopping visitors because, you know, this is what, this will slow down the spread of the disease. There are people who are calling for measures that are much more stringent than what have been put in place so far. What do you say to them?
I absolutely accept that there's a fear factor out there, and I absolutely accept that people are asking for more stringent measures to be put in place. I have to again reiterate the advice from public health at the moment is to adhere to the measures that we are putting in place. I have a responsibility to all of the older people in our residential units, and I can give people assurances that right now each and every one of those are being very well looked after by all of the staff, and the measures that are in place right now are proportionate to what is required. Stopping visitors, which we've had to do during flu outbreaks, has an impact on the residents, and I really need to take public advice when making a decision around that. People like and want to see their loved ones. That's both the people within the units and for the family members outside. After a couple of days, people really miss seeing.
Of course.
And they need to be allowed in to see those. So right now, the correct advice is please stick with the infection control measures of washing your hands, keeping your hands away from your face, doing the hand gels. It is really important. And go and visit your residents, your relatives, as you normally do, and be... and give assurance to them that, you know, everything is all right for now.
Even though something like that, and it could be any number of things, could give rise to a potential issue. Somebody who unknowingly has the virus goes into a nursing home, passes it on, that, you know, would obviously be problematic.
Yes, but as Dr. Mannix has already said, the time at which it is spread is when somebody has symptoms, and it is very, very important that if you're coughing, if you are sniffing, if you have a high temperature, no different than any other time, the ask of me today is that then you do not visit any of our residential units.
Okay, and be cautious, phone into the doctors, yes, instead of calling in,
yes,
and all that sort of stuff as well. We've talked about the hygiene. That's the most important message from health authorities at this stage. Is there anything further that either of you would like to say to the public this morning?
I suppose there are a few things. One is where they can get information from, because I think if people educate themselves about this virus, that's a key thing. And there is information on the HSE website, hse.ie. There's also a HSE national helpline. That's 1-850-241-850. And that's for general queries on coronavirus. And that's from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday to Friday, and is also open on Saturdays and Sundays. There's a local Midwest helpline as well, and that is primarily to deal with contacts of any cases. And that's 1-890-3046, and that's open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Are you getting
Monday
many calls on that? Has it been busy?
500 a day.
500 a day. That's a sign of what people, and I'm getting it in text message form here, that's a sign of what people, of how people feel, I think I'm going to say, on that particular one. But you want people to educate themselves. You want people to come forward by phone to the relevant authorities if they may be symptomatic. This is what you want to
correct. That's,
to happen.
That's important. So if somebody, for instance, has been contacted by us as a close contact, if they become ill, it's very important that they contact the health service by phone, not present at the GP surgery.
Okay.
Contact by phone.
I have one last direct question. I work with somebody who's been told to self-isolate. How does that affect me?
That person is a contact of a contact, so there's no issue at all for that person.
Okay. And if you haven't heard...
If you haven't heard,
you, from, do you carry me, on.
Carry on.
Fair enough. That's okay. So, and just yourself, final word, Maria.
Gavin, I would like to say again, thank you very much for having us here today. I would like to thank the public for working with us and taking the advice as given. I would ask them to continue doing that. I would also like to thank, you know, the local authorities, the Gardaí, and many others that have been working with us and offering us help, support. We really do appreciate, and that relationship will be ongoing and continuing. I would like to equally thank all of our staff for the work that they're doing, and let me reassure everybody that as an organisation, we will not be found wanting when it comes to addressing the measures that will be required.
Drs. Maria Bridgman and May Mannix, thank you both for coming into us this morning, and thank you for answering people's questions as well. I think, and I know this isn't coming from you, but I think it's been needed for the last while, and that's not a criticism of either the people in studio here or anybody else who's working in this region, because I think that's coming from other areas, but I think we may need more of this going forward. So no doubt, unfortunately, we will talk again in due course, but thank you very much for joining us this morning.